I said yes before the person had even finished asking. Then the call ended, and I looked at my calendar. There it was, another commitment pressed into a week that was already full. I felt anger rising. Not really at them, at myself. Why had I agreed so quickly? Why did I keep offering time I did not have, energy I could not spare, and attention I was already failing to give to the people right in front of me? Maybe you know that feeling. The polite yes that becomes a private sigh. The favor that turns into resentment. The promise made with a smile, followed later by the quiet thought, why does everyone keep asking so much of me?
Welcome to Why I Love, the podcast where we explore one simple but powerful truth. Before we can truly love others, we must first learn to love who we are. In a world filled with noise, distraction, and division, this is a space to slow down, reconnect, and rediscover the deeper purpose of our lives. Today, we are asking a difficult and freeing question. Can saying no sometimes be an act of love? We are talking about the loving boundary, that clear, compassionate place where self-respect meets care for another person. Inspired by the timeless teaching to love your neighbor as yourself, we will consider what it means to treat our own time, energy, and well-being with the same compassion we offer to everyone else. Love within, love without. Let's begin the journey.
For many of us, goodness became connected to availability. Someone needs help, so we help. Someone is disappointed, so we change our plans. A message arrives with the word urgent, and our attention leaves the room before we have decided whether the request is truly ours to carry. We may call that kindness. Sometimes it is kindness, but sometimes it is fear, wearing a helpful expression. Fear of disappointing someone. Fear of being forgotten. Fear that if we stop being useful, people will stop loving us.
So here is the question I want to stay with today. When you say yes, are you offering love freely, or are you trying to escape the discomfort of saying no? Those can look identical for a few seconds. The difference appears later, when you show up distracted, exhausted, or secretly angry. Every yes has a cost. Sometimes the cost is reasonable and worthwhile. Sometimes the cost is rest, honesty, presence, or the relationship you are trying to protect in the first place.
I remember one Tuesday evening when this became impossible to ignore. I was already late for dinner. My phone lit up with a message asking whether I could cover something on Saturday. It was not an unreasonable request. No one was being cruel. No emergency was unfolding. I was simply tired, behind schedule, and already looking forward to a quiet morning. I typed absolutely before I checked my calendar.
10 minutes later, I was sitting across from someone I cared about, nodding at the right moments while mentally rearranging the weekend. I heard the words in the conversation, but I was not fully there. My body was at the table. My mind was negotiating with Saturday. Then another message arrived, and I felt irritation before I even read it. That was the moment I had to admit something uncomfortable. I was beginning to blame people for commitments I had freely accepted.
The problem was not that people had needs. The problem was that I kept making promises without consulting my capacity. I wanted others to know I was overwhelmed with ever saying the words. I wanted them to recognize that I had given too much, even though I had presented every agreement as willing and cheerful. I had turned my own silence into an accusation against everyone else.
And honestly, I used to think a boundary would make me seem unkind. I imagined that a caring person should be flexible, patient, and endlessly available. But endless availability did not make me more loving. It made me less present. I could agree to one more task and then bring my frustration into the next conversation. I could answer every message and still make the person beside me feel ignored. A yes spoken quickly was creating a no somewhere else.
Eventually, someone asked if I could take on one more task. I felt the familiar pressure rise in my chest. My first impulse was to say yes and manage the consequences later. My second impulse was to say no sharply enough that they would understand how burdened I felt. Neither response was especially honest. So I took a breath and said, I care about this, and I do not have the capacity to do it well this week. I can help next Thursday, or I can point you towards someone who may be available sooner.
The world did not end. The relationship did not collapse. The other person was disappointed for a moment, but they could make a real decision because they finally had accurate information. I was not pretending to be endlessly available, and they were not waiting on a promise I could not keep. That conversation taught me something I still need to remember. A false yes may create a smoother moment, but an honest answer creates a healthier relationship.
A boundary is information. It tells another person what you can offer, what you cannot offer, and how you will participate without abandoning your own well-being. It is not a demand that controls their choices. It is not a punishment designed to make them feel guilty. It is not disappearing and hoping they understand why. It is a clear expression of reality. This is what I am available for. This is what I am not available for. And this is what I can honestly do next.
I find it helpful to think of the difference this way. A wall says, stay out. A boundary says, here is how we can meet honestly. Rejection says, you do not matter. A boundary says, you matter, and I also matter. Control says, you must behave in the way that makes me comfortable. A boundary says, I will make choices about my own participation. That last distinction is important. A boundary governs my actions, not another person's entire life.
A boundary might sound like, I will end this conversation if we begin shouting. It does not sound like, you are never allowed to feel angry. It might sound like, I will not answer work messages after 9 tonight. It does not sound like, no one is permitted to need anything from me. It might sound like, I can visit for an hour on Sunday. It does not sound like, I no longer care about this family. The first statement describes what I will do. The second tries to control what another person is allowed to be.
This is where the teaching to love your neighbor as yourself, both challenging and useful. We often hear the outward part and forget the measure. Love your neighbor as yourself, not instead of yourself. Not while treating yourself as an inconvenience. The words assume that your life, dignity, time, and limits matter too. If I offer another person patience, but offer myself only contempt, something in that love is out of balance.
Self-respect does not make us less generous. It makes our generosity more truthful. When we know what we can give it wholeheartedly. When we know what we cannot give, we can stop making promises that later become resentment. Love does not require us to become a resource with no limits. Love invites us to become a whole person who can offer care freely, wisely, and sustainably.
That does not mean every difficult request deserves a no. A boundary is not permission to abandon responsibility whenever something feels inconvenient. If you promise to deliver a report on Friday, the loving response is not to vanish because you are tired. It may be to say on Wednesday, I agreed too quickly. I can deliver the first section Friday and the rest Monday. I should have told you sooner. That is a boundary with accountability. It protects your capacity while respecting the commitment you already made.
So how do we begin when a request arrives? Start with a pause. Not every question deserves an immediate answer, even when the person asking is kind. You can say, let me check my schedule. You can say, I want to think about that before I commit. You can take one breath and notice what is happening inside you. Is there genuine willingness? Is there room? Or are you reacting to fear of disappointing someone?
That pause is a small space where honesty can catch up with habit. Automatic yeses happen because we answer before we listen to ourselves. The pause lets you ask, if I agree, can I be present? Can I follow through? Will I show up with care? Or will I arrive distracted and quietly resentful? Sometimes, the most loving answer begins with a few seconds of silence.
Once you have paused, the next uncomfortable part is telling the truth out loud. You do not need to build a courtroom case for your limits. You do not need 10 reasons before your no becomes valid. Try language that is clear and human. I am not able to take that on right now. I can stay for 30 minutes, but I cannot stay all evening. I care about what you are asking, and I do not have the energy to give it the attention it deserves today.
That one is hard for me. I can still feel the urge to soften a limit until it becomes meaningless. I add explanations. I apologize for having a schedule. I make a promise for later that I may not be able to keep. But clarity is kinder than a vague answer that leaves everyone guessing. You can be honest without becoming cold. You can be warm without making a promise you cannot keep.
With family, you might say, I love being part of this, but I need advance notice if I'm going to help. With a friend, you might say, I want to hear what you are going through, and I can talk for 15 minutes tonight. With work, you might say, I can complete one of these tasks by Friday. Which one matters most? These phrases do not deny care. They give care a shape that can actually survive contact with real life.
Now, the question becomes, what can you actually offer? If you cannot help tonight, perhaps you can help Saturday. If you cannot solve the problem, perhaps you can listen for 15 minutes or suggest another source of support. If you cannot answer every message immediately, perhaps you can choose a time to check in. And sometimes the honest alternative is simply, I cannot do this, and I hope you find the support you need. An alternative is not always another favor. It is sometimes a truthful ending to the negotiation.
A boundary becomes trustworthy when your actions support your words. If you say you will leave when shouting begins, leave calmly. If you say you will check messages tomorrow, do not spend the whole night checking them in secret. If you revise a commitment, communicate early and follow through on the revised plan. Boundaries are not powerful because they sound impressive. They are powerful because they make your participation honest and predictable.
Of course, a boundary may not be welcomed. Someone may be disappointed. Someone may argue. Someone may have benefited from your lack of limits and resist your new clarity. Their reaction is information, but it is not automatically a verdict on your character. You can listen to reasonable feedback without surrendering your dignity. You can repair a clumsy delivery without abandoning the truth underneath it.
And if a relationship includes intimidation, coercion, threats, or danger, a direct conversation may not be the safest choice. Kindness does not require you to stay exposed to harm. Reach out to a trusted person or qualified professional, make a safety plan where appropriate, and place safety before politeness. Not every situation can be solved with one perfectly worded sentence. Sometimes loving yourself means getting support before you try to change the relationship.
There is another boundary many of us need to practice, the boundary around attention. Picture a meal with someone you love. They are telling you something that matters, and your phone lights up. The message can wait. You know it can wait. Yet your hand reaches for the phone before you have even decided. For a moment, the person in front of you becomes less important than the person on the screen.
We do not need to condemn technology to become more intentional with it. Attention is one of the ways we love. Try one small experiment today. Put your phone in another room for the first 20 minutes of dinner. Take a walk without checking in. Let one conversation remain uninterrupted. Turn off one category of notification that does not deserve immediate access to your mind. Presence is a gift, and it becomes more meaningful when we offer it by choice rather than by accident.
Let us slow down together now. You do not need to solve your whole life in this moment. Think of one relationship, request, or commitment where your yes has become heavy. Maybe it is a late night call when you need sleep. Maybe it is a family plan that leaves you feeling trapped. Maybe it is a responsibility at work that was never clearly assigned. Maybe it is the constant stream of messages that keeps your mind from resting. Bring one situation gently into view.
Notice what happens in your body when you imagine being honest. Do your shoulders tighten? Does your stomach drop? Do you hear an old fear saying, "They will think I am selfish"? Let the fear be present without letting it lead. Ask yourself, what am I afraid would happen if I became more truthful? Would someone be disappointed? Would I have to admit that a relationship has become one-sided? Would I discover that constant service has helped me avoid my own needs?
Now ask, what would compassion look like for me here? Not indulgence, not escape. Compassion. Perhaps it means sleeping before you respond. Perhaps it means asking for help. Perhaps it means honoring a commitment while changing the terms of future commitments. Perhaps it means saying, "I can listen, but I cannot fix this for you." Let the answer be modest. A loving boundary often begins as one small act of honesty.
Then ask one more question. What would compassion look like for the other person? A clear answer may give them time to plan. A respectful limit may keep you from exploding later. An honest conversation may offer more dignity than another agreeable performance. Caring about someone does not mean removing every disappointment from their life. It means relating to them truthfully, instead of asking them to build their expectations on information you know is false.
If it feels comfortable, place a hand over your heart, or simply notice the rhythm of your breathing. On the next breath, silently say, "My needs are part of the truth." On the breath after that, say, "Other people's needs are part of the truth." You do not have to choose between disappearing and becoming hard. There is a third way: honesty with warmth, strength with tenderness, and care that leaves room for both people to remain human. Let that possibility settle.
A loving boundary protects something precious. It protects truth because you are no longer pretending. It protects connection because another person can respond to reality rather than a performance. It protects energy because your care is no longer being spent in secret resentment. And it protects choice. You get to choose when and how you offer yourself, just as other people get to choose how they respond.
This week, try one small boundary. Pause before one automatic yes. Name your capacity without over-explaining. Offer a realistic next step when one is available. If you made a promise you cannot keep, communicate early. If you delivered a boundary awkwardly, repair the tone without surrendering the truth. You are not trying to become perfectly firm overnight. You are practicing a more honest way to love.
At the heart of our conversation is a simple truth. Self-respect and neighbor love are not enemies. They belong together. When you honor your limits, you are not closing the door on love. You are helping love enter through a door that is honest, sustainable, and wide enough for both people. You do not have to be endlessly available to be deeply caring. You do not have to earn your worth through exhaustion. You are already worthy of patience, consideration, and care, including your own. Love who you are and watch the world change.
Thank you for joining me today on Why I Love. If this conversation reminded you of the power of love starting with yourself, share this episode with someone who might need a more compassionate way to say yes, no, or not yet. And if you want more reflections on self-acceptance, connection, and the choices that bring us closer together, subscribe to the podcast and stay with us for the journey. Remember, love who you are and watch the world change. Until next time, keep choosing love.